Hello, my name is Brent Dundor. I'm a full-time commercial photographer, artist, and activist, and the proud producer of the They Them Project. They Them Project interviews non-binary individuals, offering a platform for them to be seen and heard while informing and educating everyone on how words and actions affect the trans plus community.
Hello, my name is Brent. I am the photographer and producer of They Them Project, and I use he, him, his pronouns.
I am Martino Gabriel Mayatz, but I do use they, them, and also he, she pronouns.
And I'm Seth Gabriel Mayatt, and I use he, him, his pronouns.
Are there situations or times when you use one set of pronouns or another, Martino?
Yeah, I mean, it flops back and forth in different situations in my life. I, for a long time, was referred to as he, and that I find as he because I didn't know there was any other option. And then I realized that I could identify how I felt, which was as she, for when I was performing. And then all of a sudden my lifestyle turned into being able to do what I wanted to because I left my Christian family. And so that felt right for a long time. And then as I was identifying as she, I started missing the parts of me that were he, which was really confusing. So kind of back and forth. And then society was like, oh, there's just another option, which is they. And I didn't understand it myself either at first. And then the more I got to know people who identified as they, I was like, oh, that really feels like me, like way different. And so now it feels right still being called he and she and now they at any times in my life. People refer to me as she mostly when I'm performing, but people who know me as my performance persona the most will refer to me as she in my everyday life, and that really makes me happy as well. You know, I tend to lose the question when I'm answering questions.
It's okay.
You'll find that.
I'm thinking about this now. You're definitely the first couple in the project when it's strictly a podcast. So I should probably introduce you as such, like, because people aren't seeing what I'm seeing right in front of me, right? Sure. How do you two know each other?
So we met 13 years ago in New York when we were going to college together. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of an instantaneous infatuation. And we moved in on our second date, which was bold. But we were living in New York and we were just like, yeah, why not go all in on it? Yeah. And then after we finished college, we moved back here to Minneapolis and started producing gender neutral theater at Bryant Lake Bowl. Yeah. And
I came to this problem when we were in New York, where I wanted to play roles that were female because it felt more right to me. Whenever I was playing male roles in like school, I felt like I was putting on this persona. And then once I realized I could play female roles, I was like, oh, this feels right. So I was trying to go for roles and no one was even considering me for any female roles in New York. And I was like, you know, I want to go and create an opportunity for people who are like me to be, you know, who they are and not have to, just because they're a performer, have to shuck off their own personal, you know, feelings of gender and gender identity.
We'll go hard into asking questions about what you both do for work. But we'll actually take a step back and I'll ask you like the regular questions that I kind of start this all out with.
Yeah.
Seth, you said that you use he, him, his pronouns.
Yes.
And Martino, you said you use he, she, and they pronouns.
That is correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Is there ever a time that either of you would be upset if someone asked you which pronouns you use?
Upset if they asked?
Yep.
Absolutely not. And it's actually funny you should say that because nobody hardly ever asks me, which is, you'd think being somebody in my industry, I would get asked, but I don't think I've ever been asked before, probably you.
Really?
Yeah, honestly. It's, except for like, we do these gender panels for colleges,
yeah,
where we, you know, tell them our gender identity as we're like introducing them, but literally no one else has ever asked me that before.
Uh-huh.
It's very interesting.
Yeah, I think I definitely wouldn't be upset, but same thing, I don't really ever get asked. It's one of those things that I feel like I'm definitely assumed in my gender role that I present out there. So people don't really question it often.
Okay. So you've said that you really have never been asked that question, except in like queer spaces.
Yeah.
And actually when it's relating directly with gender.
Right. Yeah, only when we've been discussing gender and how gender and performance affect our lives and so on and so forth.
How much responsibility do you think should be put on others to ask your pronouns or for you to tell others what your pronouns are? Basically, I mean, knowing that people don't ask you this.
I don't know, because I like to say that we can be responsible for letting people know, but for me, it's difficult to do that. And so I think it would be nice if we were in a society where people would inquire about that. I would be happy to tell people, and it just seemed less awkward for me than to have to tell people outright.
Yeah. Well, and I think, because I have a very, like, I identify as he, him, but I personally try not to use any gendered pronouns in my own life. And it's something that I've really strived to make that own effort, because I vision a future where your gender identity should never come into question unless you're trying to procreate another human. At no other point should your gender be an issue as part of your identity. I feel that that is the inevitable goal. And so I see the importance right now of, like, fighting back and making these changes and making people aware so that this eventually can stop being an issue and become a non-sequential part of our lives.
Yeah. So we do, we just try to refer to people as they now as much as we can.
Yeah. Well, and even we were just recently introduced to the idea of not using pronouns. So we have another performer friend who asks that you not pronoun them. You only use their name.
That was the first time we did. I don't know if you've come across this at all, but we had somebody in our gender panel who said on stage they identify as she pronouns, but off stage she doesn't have, or they don't have pronouns. And I was like, that's the first time I've ever heard that before.
I didn't know that you've done panels before. So you've spoken about all of this.
Yeah. So I can, for, I think it's like 10 years, we've been working with Esme Rodriguez. So we've been a regular, like, cast members with that for a long time. So
yeah, we started with it 10 years ago in the second show they ever did down at St. Olaf.
Yeah.
So we've been working with them doing the gender panels and performances.
And so, like, me personally, you know, it's been great to get to do it, because through discussing that on a, you know, every 3-4 months, I started to understand my own identity, some things I probably wouldn't even have questioned before if I wasn't so often talking about it with students and, you know, coming to them understanding their identities and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, I realized at a certain point, I was like, I'm not focusing on my own identity in any way. And that's why I feel so weird all the time.
Well, I can tell already that this is something that you both, that's a big deal to both of you.
Yeah.
And just in the way that you were just, Seth, the way that you were just speaking about it. So people might be questioning, okay, so Seth uses he, him, his pronouns. So why is this such a big deal to you? Is it just because Martino?
No, it actually, back starting right when I came out at 14, my very first boyfriend's sister at the time started transitioning. And so it's something that right out the gate of identifying my own sexual identity, I was immediately confronted with somebody's gender identity, and really, like, got to grow and learn with these people for 3 years of my life, living with them and being taken in by that whole family, and just seeing that gender's not sexuality, and gender's a very personal and very different thing for people to understand, and that it was a big, huge, and this, you know, back in 2002 is when this was happening, so it isn't even a conversation to be had. And so it's something that really, like, from the day I started identifying myself, I knew that it was important to identify others and help them see themselves the way they want to be seen.
Yeah, when you get that exposure when you're young, you know, you really think about it at an early age. It makes it really important to, you know, when you see somebody that you love who identifies, you know, as trans and people not treating them well, you know, you get a soft spot for it. So I think that's sweet that they have.
I did ask, would there ever be a time that you would be upset if someone asked your pronouns? What if you are performing a specific, like, you've said that you perform, did you define it as a woman, as a woman? Like, are there any times where they, them pronouns would not be accepted for you, Martino?
Oh, I see. Like, if I'm trying to intentionally, you know, if I'm expressing my feminine side, in particular, I feel like I'm being a woman right now, if someone was to identify that, no, not at all. Because at all the times, you know, I feel like I'm an amalgam of things, you know. It's not like where I'm at in the spectrum is not like female to male, you know, it's like in a circular thing and I'm somewhere, you know, putting in the things, you know? Yeah. So I think that being always in that round kind of identification field, it always works because I'm adjacent to my femininity, even when I'm being my most masculine and when I'm being my most feminine, I'm still adjacent to my, I forget what I started with.
Masculinity.
Yeah. And so I would never be concerned because more than that, I mean, that's all fine and good, but more than that, I just don't want people to have to worry so much about whether or not I'm upset about things. You know, like I want people to know that intent is the most important thing to me. If you're coming at me from love, I really don't care what you call me. Yes, I prefer this. Yes, I identify this, but if you're not, you know, being mean to me, I'm not going to be upset about
it. Yeah, it's something we've always said at the college panels at the end of them is basically it doesn't matter the pronouns you use as long as it's said with respect. So, you know, especially when you're working with people who are playing in that gender performance and there is a lot of lines being crossed.
Yeah, because people that make accidentally all the time, even me, people that we love, we accidentally misgender them all the time when in discussion. And it's one of the things where, it's the intent, happens both ways.
I think in the last two or three episodes, we've been touching on the idea of intent. But a lot of that, I mean, if someone is trying to respect someone's pronouns, the first step is just to ask. And so that's what we're getting at with all of this.
Yeah.
And again, it's so interesting that you're so involved in this discussion, this whole, but people don't ask you.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Away from pronouns, how would each of you describe yourselves and your gender?
Well, actually, I just had a thought on what you had just asked about what you said, because I was thinking about why people don't necessarily ask, my gender, and I think it comes around to something that I had kind of thought about and posted on Facebook about how I present in everyday life. You know, I feel like in my everyday life, I present more masculine because for so long in my performance life, I've presented so feminine and it's like a balance game. And I think people see that and immediately think they understand my gender identity just because of the clothes that I put on. And so now as I started understanding that I identify as they, I've been questioning, like, do I need to start dressing more feminine so that people identify, and I've come to this point, I was like, well, no, just because I feel, feminine doesn't mean I have to wear different clothes than I've already been doing just to prove to people that I identify this way. So it might be just because I've just refused to give signs to, to people to say, I'm proving to you that I'm trans. You know, I think that people don't understand it a lot of times. That might be not why people even bother to ask.
What do you think about what Martino just said?
No, I think people make a lot of assumptions just based on your sense of style. So the thing is, your gender identity doesn't necessarily reflect what your style or what you want to look like in your clothing choices. And it's something Esme really taught us, that clothing doesn't have a gender. You know, we put a gender on it by putting it on two different sides of the store.
Right.
But at the end of the day, it's all just fabric. And so you can pick any fabric you want and put on. And I think people hold a lot of stock in how you present that fashion as what your gender identity has to match to.
Well, do you want to answer that question that I just had? So
I did.
It's okay if not. Yeah. Away from pronouns, how would you define yourself and your gender?
I identify as gender fluid or multigendered. Because I do truly feel like I identify with women as a woman. I also do feel like I identify with men as a man on many different things. You know, in my childhood, whenever the girls would get separated in class, I remember always feeling like, but me, it's the same thing with like friend groups. Whenever they would, all the girls would be hanging out there and the guys would be over here and I'd be, going back and forth because neither one really, felt right because they kind of like both did.
I mean, honestly, I really don't identify a gender because I don't plan on procreating at any point in my life. And I don't think anything about what's inside or outside my body then at any point matters outside of those realms. So I don't really identify with a gender.
Okay. So then why would you label yourself as he, him, his pronouns?
I definitely reflect a more masculine sensibility, but I think the masculine that I present doesn't automatically equal male.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're having a discussion of the, I mean, it basically is the whole idea of spectrum.
Right, and, exactly.
We can use these pronouns, these words, to describe each end of it all. But we're saying that,
yeah,
it really none of this can be defined as a definite right, of anything.
Right. And it's that's kind of what the working, project's about. We're working beyond language.
Like, right. You know. Yeah. There's a lot of definitions and identities that go on to it, but you're right. The feelings that he mostly has is that once explode gender, because it's all
right. Like I don't identify within the binary anywhere, and I don't really even feel the gender queer, because that still puts it in the box of that you have to have that gender that everybody has to know. And I feel that that's nobody's business, because I'll never procreate. So whether I could carry or could create a child doesn't matter on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've never heard the idea of the procreation concept.
Yeah. It's something I feel unique in my views on it. And I don't really know anyone else who sees it that way, but I feel like that's really at the end of the day, the only thing that really should matter about what anybody identifies is if you're trying to create that second life, you know, create another life.
And even then, it's probably a personal,
right, exactly,
personal yeah. thing. We're not saying that people should now go walk around and say, are you going to have a baby?
Right, right.
So yeah, I can understand exactly who you and what you are.
Start marking them like, this one's good, this one's not.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So, Martino, how long have you been using she, her? How long have you been using any set of these pronouns?
Yeah, so I started recognizing she pronouns as being natural to me when I was, it was 17 when I left my parents. So it was somewhere between 17 and 18 when I was living with the drag queens. And it was actually kind of, because I was so conservative, I grew up in a Pentecostal Christian home. And so like the idea of any of this stuff didn't make any sense to me. My drag mother immediately identified me as being trans and started referring to me as she. And I was like, at first I was kind of like affronted. And then I realized that she was just forcing me to not fight it. And as soon as I accepted that, I was really grateful, because she kind of like forced me into understanding, you know, who I was and who I wanted to be. So that was like at 17. And then I didn't even realize that anyone used, even though we were doing gender panels, I don't think the term they came up.
Definitely was not a big thing for at least the first 2 or 3 years. It was not really on the table still in the younger crowd, you know, in the colleges where we were talking about it with them. It was still very within the binary. And how do we break that binary?
And so for me, I was thought of they as being something for people who didn't feel like they were feminine, didn't feel like they were male, didn't feel like they were female, but felt like they were something else. And which is what some people do, but I didn't realize that not everyone identifies as they is like a this, but instead of these two. Mm-hmm. Some people who identify as they are people who identify as both. And once I started meeting those people, I think it was probably a year ago or so when I started hanging out with like Jacques, and I started understanding their identity and stuff. I was like, oh, this is feels, you know, right for me. So I think that's when it was. Mm-hmm. I should have started with saying, when? Like, are you asking me dates and time?
It sounds, I didn't realize that I have worked with so many people that are either connected directly to you or connected to someone else that is in the product. Yeah. Like, I didn't realize that when you were coming in.
Well, because, you know, I've always been kind of a blend of genders, and I've also have had a spot for people who identify as trans. When I moved to the Twin Cities, most of the gay bars didn't really have any trans people. And I was like, what's going on? I went to the townhouse finally and found like a crowd of trans people. And they were like, oh yeah, no. First of all, no other drag queen has ever talked to us at the bar. Hardly ever like talked to us at the bar. And I was like, that's weird. And they're like, in no other bar, we feel welcome because we feel like the whole community doesn't want us. And I was like, that's like going to be my mission when I'm here, is to make every trans person I meet feel loved. And then through that, I found love for my own self, my identity, which is kind of beautiful. But that's kind of how it is. That's why we're kind of connected to everybody, because we've been seeking out.
When I think people. Also, I mean, with the Martinez Broadway Cabaret at Brightling Bowl for 10 years now, we've, you know, had hundreds of cast members now come in and out. And it's with our
Well, hundreds might be a lot.
Maybe a hundred people, but with our take on the gender neutral theater, and that like we really wanted to push it that like a character has a gender, but the actor playing that character is genderless. Every actor should be able to play every character that they're presented with.
Yeah, if they wish,
you know,
to.
So that's what we really went with, and people really dove into that. So these young performers that are now established producers working with us side by side, you know, jumped on board with us and were like, yeah, this is a great idea. Let's try it out. And but 10 years later,
it was really,
you know,
cool too, because we got the opportunity when we were first doing the cabarets to give people who had transitioned an opportunity to sing for the first time since transitioning. Like many of, I mean, we had three people initially from the company who had transitioned who were theater people or just singers beforehand who had never used their voice since transitioning because they were just afraid of how people would react. They don't know how it's going to sound. It's going to be different. And so we wanted to create an opportunity. We're like, no, come and be yourself and explore in a safe space amongst people who, you know, are going to love on you no matter what.
Well, let's dive in. Well, we can work back to the questions, but let's dive into exactly what you both do. Because, I mean, we were talking about it before I turned the microphone on. I've seen a lot through Facebook to gain at least a general understanding. But now, the more that you're talking about all of this, it's so intertwined in everything we are talking about.
Right.
And it's a beautiful thing what you've created and, like, the opportunity it gives everyone to express themselves. So I'll have you explain exactly what you do.
Yeah, well, I'm Seth Gabriel Mayat. I'm the creative I'm Seth Gabriel Mayat, the creative artistic director of Silver Slipper Productions.
Yeah, and I'm Martino, and I am the producing artistic director of the company. And so we've together created in 2004, our first Martinez Broadway Cabaret.
Oh, the cabaret was 2007, was the first one.
Thank you. And at Bryant Lake Bowl. And we, since then, we did several years of that, creating opportunity for people to perform, no matter what their gender identity was, and getting to experiment with material in different ways. And then we started creating original plays that not only allowed people to play whatever gender they wanted to, but also told the stories of people who were gender non-binary and such. And so we created Thursday Brunch with the Ladies and then Christopher Street, the musical.
Yeah. And so with Christopher Street, we then, we've been working on that for a long time, but we then went on to produce that as a Fringe production. And so that was in 2011. We were in the Fringe Festival with our original musical. And then we've since done a few staged readings and reworkings of the music on that for the public.
Yeah. And then, like, throughout the years of doing those cabarets and doing performance in the nightclubs, we started getting into burlesque and started realizing that that was, like, the most fun version of
definitely a calling for both of us.
And so we are able to, and it was the most fun for me because without any layers of, like, being a drag queen, which is what I was sort of for a long time, it was nice to be able to finally show what of myself is masculine and feminine all at the same time. And it's all me. And so for me, the burlesque has been the richest part of our career. So now we produce burlesque shows, other nightclub events like Circus and Martinez Playhouse, which is like a live talk show that we do at Can Can Wonderland. What else?
And our Monday Night Amateur Contest.
And our Monday Night Amateur Contest at the Gay 90s. And that's a really fun one because it's called Show Off. And it's an opportunity for competitors who are in performances like burlesque, drag, singing, dancing, stuff like that, to compete in a show that's not against drag queens. Because for a long time, people who were doing drag kinging or genderqueer burlesque and stuff like that had a hard time because there was nothing for them. So we wanted to create something for them.
Yeah.
Let me take in all of that.
So it's a long career.
I'm sorry, we go on.
No, it sounds like you're a little busy.
Yeah, just a little.
That's another reason why you're like, I don't know how you guys know everybody. It's because we just do so much that we have to know everybody because we have so many things to fill people into.
Let's see here. Okay, so when I'm asking these questions, when I'm listening to everyone's responses, I try to put myself into a place where someone who is
less educated with the idea of gender, what they might be thinking. So right now we've been talking about Martino, who's sitting in front of us, and there's Martina, which is part of what the show is called, correct?
Yep,
right?
Right.
There's different shows by Martina.
Yes.
Is Martino you, or is Martina you? So tell me what that means.
Absolutely. Yeah. So Martina started out as the name of my drag persona. Obviously, when I started performing, I didn't want to stray too far from who I was because I didn't want to put on a persona. I just wanted to be a female version of myself, because that made more sense. So Martina has stuck around now as the character that hosts a number of shows and so on and so forth. But it's also become a name and identity to my more feminine side. So there's times when I will prefer people to call me Martina to Martino. There's periods in my life where Martino has actually been a name that like doesn't feel right to me. And then it's been periods where I've missed Martino and it's come back. So Martina is a performance persona, but she's also a huge part of me. And so we get asked in these gender panels a lot, like, how do you keep your drag persona separate from your real life? And for me, it's always been like, there's no difference. I am Martina and Martino at all times with every experience, no matter what. I've tried to be different and I just can't.
So I've seen through Facebook, you actually have changed your Facebook name. I mean, people change that whenever, however, but like, I think you did have Martina as your name on Facebook for a while too.
Yeah. And I have a separate Martina Maraschino Facebook, but before, for a while I had gotten rid of my Martino and turned that also into a Martina because Martino didn't feel right for a while. And I think it's just because, I don't know. I guess I could go on to why it was because, but I would probably end up talking for 20 minutes. And
we'll kind of work our way into it.
Spilling some tea.
But it's,
there's a lot of emotional stuff goes into it.
Again, though, it's even more than I was comprehending before you came in here today. It's all so much a part of you. I mean, obviously, the idea of gender is something to all of us, but the fact that you perform and give other people the opportunity to perform an expression of it all, that makes it really unique, just as a whole.
Yeah. And I think it definitely stems from like my want to create a future where gender is no longer the subject. And I think also with Martina's, own journey and with their own path and like being able to be there to help support the two of us, like together, basically are pushing and pulling each other along, doing what we can do right now to change the world.
Well, and it was easy for me to make assumptions before you came in. I mean, the whole project is the idea is to not make assumptions, but it's human to do so. So I was assuming that, with you being a couple, that's important just for that reason solely to use that. But it sounds, and you both are not just, it's not just a personal note to yourselves or to you as a couple, but and it's not even just that you perform gender. It's that it seems like both of you are activists, advocates, like everything in between of, and what's really unique is that you created a space where that allows other people to do it as well. That's cool.
It's important to me to be able to pass it on. I got a lot of support from the queer community when I got kicked out of my parents' house and like some drag queens and a trans person took me in from off the streets and stuff like that. So I've always had this sense of paying it forward. I saved my life. I could have been who knows what on the streets of Detroit, but now I'm here and I have a degree in musical theater and I can help other kids, learn their craft and feel comfortable in themselves while they're developing, which is really fun. I had an opportunity at class the other day to talk through a kid through. He had nails on.
A children's class.
Yeah.
Another thing you also do.
That's another thing. I teach. So I was teaching my K through second class, And I got pulled up by another teacher because the older class had a student who I had worked with in the past and connected with, because I didn't know by kind of sense they might be gender non-binary or whatever. So it turns out they had come out with full pastel nails, and one of the other kids had said some things to them. And there was like an interaction, and the kid had gotten aggressive in response to it. And so it was awesome. I got to be an opportunity to talk him through that and to give him some other ways to handle it, and to show him that you give the power away when you don't stay controlled in those situations, stuff like that. And it's just great to be able to say those things to him that I wish I could have heard when I was
young. Nails on too.
And I had my painted nails. So
yeah. You know, it definitely also, I think, helped him see that there is that he's making choices that are okay to make.
It's okay to make. Yeah. Yeah. Who you are is totally awesome. Yeah. So I love being able to get to do that. It's very rewarding.
It seems like there should be a documentary crew following you around to really show all that you
do. We said before we should be a TV show.
Yeah, we joke often that our lives could be a sitcom or a documentary.
It's just the drama of trying to keep everything together. You can probably imagine just from hearing us talk, we've got so many irons in the fire just trying to...
There's like 20 things that we've talked about.
Because it's like the producing of everything. And then on top, you know, we get to show day and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm also in the show. I also have to get some costumes and a performance together.
Yeah. And, I mean, and true artists. Yeah. It's to put it simply, somehow.
hard work. We always say that hustlers who don't hustle starve. So we're hardworking hustlers.
Yeah. So, I mean, we definitely have challenged my structure of an interview.
I do challenge structure. Yeah. Yes, I've known to do that.
We've kind of touched on all of the questions that I normally ask, but I'm going to kind of go back and ask them in certain ways just so that we can have, like, I guess structure. I don't need structure. So I was asking about Martino, Martina. Mm-hmm. Have you always gone by Martino or Martina? Always gone by Seth?
Have there been other names, you mean, or have I always gone by both?
Well, for a lot of people that I interview, they use a different name than what they were given at birth. And I had no idea what that represented before I started this project. It didn't take me long before I realized how important that is. And how much that means to the person.
Right.
Just to give a little more info. So one of the persons who I interviewed at the beginning, they told me that they use this name, and I had known them before I had asked them to do the project, and I had known them by this previous name or this other name. And I was just like, I don't know what that means. I literally was thinking, I didn't understand why there was a different name.
Right.
So that was my uneducated or ignorant concept, understanding of it all. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I'm asking, have you always used Martino or Martina as a name?
Yeah, I see. Yeah. You know, I used Martino growing up, and once I started using Martina, I was using both for a long time. And then there was a period when I felt like I wasn't doing Martina enough respect, and I felt like I didn't identify as Martino anymore. So I did stop identifying as Martino and only identified as Martina. And then I realized that that wasn't right for me, and that I needed also to have my Martino side to be part of my identity as well.
Have you ever considered changing your name?
Oh, changing my name.
It doesn't sound like you need to.
I don't know. The only way I would change my name is if I would just start referring to myself as Martinoa.
Yeah.
Because I've taken to writing
Martinex.
Martinex, yes. Like, just writing MARTINO, like, whatever the slash is. Just, like, all-encompassing, like, one name, but... No, you know, I love the beauty that represents both of those names and the history that I've been identified as those. You know, like, some people, when they transition, you know, they have a dead name and they don't identify as that. But because I'm gender fluid, I still, you know, identify as both of them.
Mm-hmm. Seth, have you always
Yeah, Seth is my birth name. I've always gone by that. But I also, my performance name is Gabe Gabriel. I'll say most people actually refer to me as Gabe outside of like what I call Marvel Life. The few people that I don't know as performers. And then, but there is a period because I did do drag for a few years while I was kind of figuring out what I wanted to do in burlesque. And so there's a small group of the community that still refers to me as Gabrielle. And that's, you know, I love it. She's no longer with me. I've kind of let her go, but I know she could come back someday if I wanted to do drag again. But it's nice to know that there's that group of family that knew me from that period that I still have.
I did love Gabrielle.
She was a little slow.
So again, I'll ask this question to both of you, either of you can answer. So can you give an example of a time when someone validated your gender and how it made you feel?
I mean, yes, I can say, honestly, one story that stands out to me was and I won't say like who or when it was, but the first sexual partner that I had that referred to me as girl. Because they knew, like, most people, you know, just understood my masculine side, didn't understand that, like, my feminine side was part of my real life. So the first sexual partner that I had that referred to me as girl in bed, it was, like, huge to me. Because it felt like, oh, you see who I am despite how I am presenting. And that was really awesome. Girl.
I don't know if I have an answer for that.
That's okay.
That I can think of right away.
Yeah, I'll go on here. So is there an example of a time when someone challenged your gender, and can you tell me how that made you feel?
Yes. there is a person who is, who has challenged my gender identity basically directly, not to me, but to other people about me. And it's horrifying, actually, especially when it's somebody that you at one point thought was, you know, somebody that you were really close to, and as you kind of talked through, you know, things with, and they kind of helped you to get to your point. So it was kind of like the rug being pulled out from under me when I found out that this person had been like telling people,
was invalidating my
gender
because they had helped you find your identity.
Yeah. So that was really, it was shocking and it hurt.
It might not be important or needed to be included, but like, why would someone do that? If they're someone who has helped you.
It was non-related personal attempt to hurt me and my persona even. Like, it was somebody that we had professional situation with, was no longer working with our group, so then was lashing out to
trying to invalidate
invalidate us and turned people against us, basically.
It
wasn't long lasted, and the people who knew us and loved us, you know, weren't affected.
But
there were a lot of people who didn't know me at all who believed this person, and that I say it did hurt, but it still does hurt constantly knowing that there are still people out there who, amongst other things, you know, feel like that.
And the last at least one or two interviews that I've had, we've really touched on this idea of giving people enough of your energy to be upset by something means that you're taking away from yourself, and that it's but at the same time, it's impossible to not feel from these types of things.
Yeah. You know, it was interesting because as you heard, gender and people's understanding of gender has been a big passion for us. And when this point happened, we had realized that we had kind of put it on a back burner. And so it was kind of actually good to, as a reminder, like, this is your focus. This is what you started everything for.
Yeah, definitely.
If somebody's having a hard time remembering, understanding, or respecting someone else's pronouns, their name, their gender, what suggestions do you have for a person who wants to be able and is willing to do the work to remember this?
Sure. You know, I think vigilance is, you know, important, and exposure. You know, if you have one friend whose identity is, you know, non-binary, and you're having a hard time remembering, maybe just because you don't have enough other non-binary people, you know, in your life to constantly remind you to be, you know, sensitive more often.
Yeah, I think helping others, you know, as you can. I know it's something like, as we talk, we'll accidentally misgender a performer just as we're like strolling through an idea, and we're both very good about stopping them and be like, that's the wrong gender on that performer. Just to, like, always be trying, always be aware of your own.
Yeah. Constantly, yeah.
Identification.
And I mean, to reiterate that idea, I mean, it's to allow people to correct you, like, right. To start with that too. And it's something that I've covered in the last 2, 3 or all of the interviews is the idea of when someone corrects you, it doesn't mean that you have to go off and be depressed the rest of the day. It just means this is what's important to me, and now let's move on.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Right. And I think, and part of that is people understanding that many people are understanding about that. And we get that the intent, like I said before, the intent is important, and you don't have to go feel bad as long as your intent was good. You know, I think you're right. Just not making it a big deal and getting depressed about it, that doesn't help anything.
Do you feel that race plays into gender identity and acceptance of someone's gender?
I think it plays into the ease of their acceptance. I think it definitely makes a lot harder to go through those transitions when you're facing the multiple.
Yeah, when you're, it's more dangerous for sure when you're a person of color and you're transitioning or you're non-binary. But the experience is completely different. I don't have enough experience because I'm a privileged white guy.
Yeah, it's hard to speak to because we both know and are aware, like, it's so much harder and there's so many more struggles than we could ever begin to speak to.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's that thing. It's like, it doesn't matter what you are in society, you know, like, I'm a straight white guy as far as a cis white guy, as far as like most people see, you know, so I don't suffer those issues. So I literally, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
As far as a hard life, I've got the easiest version of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And that touches on another thing that I personally have learned so much from this project and I'm so thankful for, the idea of privilege. And that's what we're talking about here.
Right.
Do you have anything else to say about privilege, either of you?
I have a lot to say about the privilege of game, and no offense or anything, but especially like in the gay community, you know, it feels like they feel like they're the gatekeepers a lot of time, and not all gay men, obviously, but a lot of men who identify as gay men kind of feel like they're the gatekeepers of the community, and that transition is sort of starting to happen, but places like the Saloon, where they feel like this is, you know, their home base and no one else, you know, can come in, that's just now starting to kind of change, and only because people are kind of forcing them, you know, in that way. And like things like drag queens who, you know, host shows and then, you know, like use that power to like sexualize other performers or like go beyond people's like boundaries and stuff like that. Like there's all types of privilege, like within these underprivileged groups and things like that. But yeah, that's all I'll say about that.
Quinn touched a lot on that. I don't know. Did you listen to their interview?
I didn't listen to it yet. No.
We're so behind.
Because for Quinn, how long ago did they start performing? It was less than a year.
2 months ago.
Only several months. Yeah.
So they have like a fresh perspective on what we're talking about. And, for that reason alone, it's worth listening to their interview.
I'll definitely do that.
Okay. So if people want to see more of what you do, where do they go?
Oh, absolutely. Well, we are at the Gay 90s producing our Glam Boylesque show every second Friday of the month, and that's at 9 p.m. before the drag show. And then we're also there every single Monday night for an amateur contest called Show Off, which is for performers of all gender identities that want to come and show off whatever talents they have.
And we're also at Can Can Wonderland, the second Friday, or second Saturday, rather, of every month, doing our live talk show at Martinez Playhouse with puppets and body performances and all kinds of music and dancing and such. And then the fourth Saturday of every month, we do Queer Circus at Can Can Wonderland, which is aerial arts, burlesque arts, drag arts, clowning, and kind of everything in between. It's a super fun, all-inclusive queer experience. And where else? That's at 9:30, yeah. And then what else do we have going on?
We can also, we perform with a whole bunch of other groups. Those are the four that we are producing. And then we also do one or two Martinez Broadway cabarets a year still. So yeah. Hopefully, usually around the big holidays, Halloween, Christmas.
Yeah. So you can check out Silver Slipper stuff online that we're doing. And we also have, I'm going to be at Pride all weekend. I'm going to be hosting the Stonewall stage as Martina, which is going to be super fun. Yay! Nice. So that'll be all day, and then at night we'll be doing shows at various places.
So to help people with all that you said, is there a website that they can know everything that's happening with you?
Wouldn't that be great?
Right, there's not a website, but we do have a Silver Slipper Productions Facebook page, which then also links to all of our individual show pages, but everything posts through there. You can also find our performer pages and our personal Facebooks as well, because they're public.
Yeah. Actually, Instagram is usually the best way. We keep really vigilant on updating Instagram. We used to have a website, and it turns out we're not very good at maintaining a website. It wasn't very informative, and it was just sort of a waste of the internet.
Okay, so if people wanted to find out all of what we're talking about, they go to Silver Slipper?
Yep, Silver Slipper Productions.
And that, you would just search for that on Facebook?
Yeah. Yep.
Or on Instagram? Or is Instagram a different?
On Facebook, and then we'll have all of our Instagrams listed on there as well.
Mm-hmm. And on Instagram?
Yeah.
That would just be personal pages, or?
We've got a different Instagram for each show.
Each show has their own Instagram page.
We run about 8 different Instagrams. It's crazy.
My life is crazy. Queer Circus is at Queer Circus MN. Show Off is at Show Off MN. You can find out Martinez Playhouse at Martinez Playhouse. And then
Glam is at The Glam Gods with a Z.
Yeah.
What advice would you give to your younger selves, or to youth who might be questioning their gender identity?
I think for me, what I would have given myself advice was to talk to more people and not to be so shy about things. Now, I was really too anxious about the conversation that I didn't know would happen. You know, the inevitable, or not the inevitable, the variables in a conversation, to go to somebody and discuss gender identity until it was later in my life. So I would have encouraged myself to actually not just know people, but to actually ask questions, because like I said before, it wasn't until I was like in my late 20s that I started really understanding myself. And I had been discussing, you know, gender, known people who are gender non-binary for 10 years before that already, just because I was too shy to hear what other people said. And then I would have realized that it echoed how I felt.
Seth, do you have any advice?
I think I would just say, don't wait for someone else to start making the change that you want. And really, you know, kind of to branch out, like, don't be afraid to be the one that starts the ball rolling.
For me, hearing people from this project and seeing how beautiful their lives are now.
Yeah.
And they had to take that first step. But to realize that you can be in a really great, beautiful place at the end of all of that. You do have to take a first step.
I think that the advice specifically to what you said is that the practical advice would be to connect with other people, to reach out to other people to start the conversation, and then to figure out what action you guys can take in your own personal, bubble, and let that bubble expand and expand.
Yeah. I think if you see that change that needs to happen, everybody else can see that too. And so don't, it's knowing that somebody needs to start that ball rolling first. And so finding the courage to be the person who does that.
Well, and that kind of leads into my next question, which also could have the same answer, in my opinion. What advice do you have for parents who may have children who are questioning their gender identity?
I get asked that question a lot on Facebook, at shows, because one of the things we do is we do all ages brunches at the Gay 90s. So there's a lot of parents who bring their kids who they think maybe question their gender or have questioned their gender, and they come to us and they ask things. And I always just say to people that you will always do well just by reminding your kid that you love them and you support them no matter what, and starting the journey from there.
I think a big thing from my own childhood and something that I wish my parents had been aware of is watching your judgment of minuscule things, because your child's seen every one of those judgments and then takes that judgment onto themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. And even further, as you get into your teen years, there's some educating that needs to happen from parents who have only had a heterosexual sexual relationship. You know, there's some understanding of how the situation that your child is going into is affected. And so, you know, reading books on stories of queer kids and teenagers and stuff like that, reading books about gender non-binary kids or whatever, things from actual experiences of people who've lived them, so that you are able to understand things like that. Like, my parents have a hard time because I can't talk to them about much of anything because they don't really get it, you know, still. Yeah.
They like to bury their heads in the sand.
Yeah, and a lot of parents, it's easier that way, and I get it. You know, it's confusing sometimes, but yeah, if parents put the work into it, then it makes it be better forever.
Is there anything else you would like to say to anyone listening? Both of you.
Yeah. I would say that, you know, we're at the early stages of understanding all the things that we're discussing, and the best way to pass on that education to everybody else is to forward it on, to share, and for this project to grow, because the stories that are being told, everybody needs to hear, and people who need to hear the most don't know that they need to hear it yet. And so it needs to grow to the point where people can't ignore it, so that the people who need to hear it start really hearing it and taking it in.
Yeah, and I think on top of, you know, sharing it, but also having conversations about it, talking about it, bringing it up with the people that you've shared it with, making sure that they're listening and they're sharing it with other people to keep the conversation growing and getting bigger.
Thank you both for being here, Martino and Seth.
Thank you.
Did you know the best place to view the project is through the website, theythemproject.org? It's the only place you can see all the photos and videos and easily share the project to help it be seen and make a difference. In addition to the website, They Them Project is everywhere. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook and subscribe to our podcast through iTunes and Google Play. Remember that the project grows and informs only when it is shared by people like you. Go to theythemproject.org and share what you see and hear.